It's the Mike Wills Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the next edition of the Mike Wills Podcast. This is January something, I don't even know anymore, 22nd, 21st, 2020. So, doing some minor updates here, I guess, or just kind of in that mood to kind of record again. In amateur radio world, it's kind of been an adventure a little bit. Trying to do some experimentation to see just how far some of these signals can go. Because the more I play, the more I'm questioning just how far these signals can actually go sometimes, especially with something as simple as a little 5-watt radio. So I have something set up so it will start recording every time I every time it receives a signal on a certain frequency, but I haven't had much luck yet with the receiving side. And I'm guessing it's my my computer. Holy cow, it's a windy. I'm guessing it's my computer kind of sort of going to a sort of sleep mode. And then that causes it to suspend receiving. I'm not quite sure. But it's actually rather annoying. When I did everything I could to disable sleep mode and anything that could potentially cause the computer not to answer. Wow, is it windy out here tonight? Ooh, a lot of snow drifting too. So, I'll get that in a second. So, I have it set up, and probably over the course of the next few days, as I hit different points, I'm going to try and record. I think what I might end up having to do is take an old laptop, set it up to be able to record, and make sure it doesn't go to sleep ever, and then see if I can't get that to actually do the recording for me. But what I'm trying to do is I have the files get saved out to my OneDrive in a folder there, so I can, from remote locations, see if it worked. My initial plan was I would start driving in one direction and just start seeing how far I can go before it doesn't receive any more signal, both in the car and out of the car. I think this might be more of a spring thing because cold. Mostly. Snowstorms, another. Once I kind of have that idea, and of course in the back of my head, I know you can talk to satellites on less than 5 watts, you can go long, long distances, but this is the real world, and the real world is what's most important. I should say the real world. This is the land-based world. A land-based world behaves slightly different than when you, or acts different than when you're shooting up in the air and hitting birds. Birds being satellites. So, we are, I'm doing a little bit of that experimentation. I was half tempted at a local football game. We were playing at the college, which is pretty much right across the valley from my house. Kind of sort of off at an angle, but I am pretty sure if I couldn't see my house, I was really darn close to being able to see my house. God, I love hill country. But I did not bring that radio along to attempt to make any communications. And more than likely, the radio could do the transmitting, but the hotspot would not, because the hotspot is a much lower power, or puts out much lower power. So, but just various things to experiment with and play with. There's only one way to learn, and that's to do and try. Eventually here, I will get a second radio. I will probably hook it up, I should say full time, hook it up a lot of the time to a second antenna that would be in my attic, that not necessarily immune to lightning strikes, but much less likely to hit them. And then once I get a power supply, then I can start running that full time for like APRS and whatnot. Down the road, I kind of would like to get a dedicated radio for National Calling Frequency 146520. Down the road, that's less important. You put in your scanner, you can find it. Or usually get any signals on that. And so on. But what I'm really wanting right now, after I get a 50-watt radio in my office, is an HF radio. And that's where I've been starting to put a time to figure out kind of what I want. And I'm kind of two different minds on that. On one hand, you can go a little bit cheaper, and like there's one for about, I guess it's $600 new, that would work very well. Guy around here mentioned he has one, or at least one of the models of that line. It's a 450, a Yaesu FT450, I think it is, and that's what he's got. I've heard other people say, yeah, I make quite a few contacts on that. Sometimes better than the bigger radio, or more expensive radio, I guess. But it doesn't have the waterfall, which is really cool if you ever watching videos on YouTube with showing like the ICOM IC7300, I think it is. You ever see videos like that? It's like, oh, that's so nice for when you're trying to pinpoint a certain frequency, or when you're hunting for someone to talk to and you hear conversations, you can easily see those. That's very nice to have. But, you know, is it necessary? I don't know. I'm sure make that easier to use, but you're also paying extra for it. There's also a mobile that I was looking at that's kind of in that same price range of the $500-$600. These are all brand new prices. Obviously, it gets cheaper when you go used. That would be neat too, and then I would have more of a portable rig for camping or whatever, easy to move and take with me. So that's kind of that one class. The second class is where I would say most people go, and that is the ICOM 7300 or the Yaesu FT991A, I think is what the model is. 991A, I know it's those first two letters. Sometimes they're weird. And do that. So kind of figuring out what I want to do there. Basically, it's how much money do I want to save? How much money do I want to spend? And in between there, I do need a... I should have a power supply that will provide me the 12 volts required to drive a radio like that, or the mobile and so on. So, unfortunately, when you get into buying radios, it gets to be pretty spendy. Where making the antennas and making some of the stuff, you can save a lot. You can start saving money, but sometimes you know, a wire and tin is easy to put together, but you need a 100-foot area to put it up. Or whatever size antenna you're doing. You can buy a vertical, but now you got to buy it. It's a few $100. Takes up a lot less space, but you have to buy it. Wire antennas, if you got wire laying around, you can make it, or you buy wire that's reasonably cheap and do it that way. So there's various different things that are out in the world and various things you can do. It's just getting there. And with an HF radio, I think I would prefer to get a tuner right away. Big reason for the tuner is that way I'm just covered. It's kind of an insurance at that point. You know, if you have issues, you're not going to wreck the radio, and the tuner should hopefully cover it. So, there's just a lot of different variables, and the problem with the variables is there's the money to cover them. And this stuff you typically buy, you don't necessarily build all the time. Although you could if you wanted to. So, it's keeping humble, keeping going slow. And in the meantime, I am learning to become an extra, an amateur extra. And at that point, that will put me at the highest level of amateur radio licensing, which basically means I have what they call full privileges. I'm not limited to any of the frequencies that are allowed to me. That's kind of the biggest thing. A little prestige, I guess, a little bit with it, which really, for me, isn't that big of a deal. They say in the book that people look to you as being wiser and knowing more. Based on some people's testing, I kind of disagree with that. Because there are people who go out there, whether they study, just memorize answers, I don't know. But they walk away with all three licenses immediately. And I'm like, okay, that's cool, but do you know anything? And that's where, as I go through this test, they start talking about different methodologies and studying. And yeah, sure, you can get the test questions, memorize all the answers, go take your test, take your tech and general immediately, pass everything. Okay, great. But you don't know the basics of actual radio. You just memorize a bunch of test questions. And I still felt like that after I studied and took the test. But once you start talking to people, these things start to click together, and pretty soon you're realizing how things are coming together. And especially post the general the general and the technician tests, now I'm seeing how it's more complementary to each other. They work together pretty well. The extra, it's so much more detailed, so much more math, and I would say probably college, like 101 level electronics. not even 101, probably like 201 or 301. It's much more getting to the low-level math mostly the math side of electronics and how they work together, how they interact together, and so on. Things that would be valuable if you're trying to build your own radio or maybe fix something here and there. I am I'm not sure I am to that level. I might do a kit where they have step one do this, step two do this. I still can't, and I'm still not done yet, but I still can't fully comprehend coming up with an idea, putting together the electronics, the components, individual components that are necessary to make the idea a reality. I think I'm much more of an instruction follower, much like I am baking. If it says 7 cups of flour, I'm putting 7 cups of flour in. If I'm halving it, I'll put 3.5 cups of flour in. I don't adjust. I don't tweak. I do exactly what it says. Doesn't matter if I'm baking, if I'm cooking. I follow instructions. I'm not the, let's see what I come up with in those kind of cases. But, you know, each person it does their own thing. I might be more willing to experiment with antennas. You know, especially wire antennas, it doesn't take much for you to build something. You just take some wire, some coax, and a place to put it up. So we'll see where my, quote, amateur career takes me and kind of go from there. But until then, it's just fun to experiment. Weather-wise, we got slammed over the weekend, my long weekend, with a snowstorm. In fact, it was kind of to the point where so it started Thursday night late, and then wrapped up, the storm proper wrapped up like Friday, but then there was still snow falling on Saturday. Mostly flurries, nothing of accumulating. but it was the wind. And the wind is howling right now again. So with the wind and the snow, it kind of, to a degree, shut down Minnesota for 4 days almost. Friday, there's no travel advice, or at a certain point, people were trying to get home and everything. No, it started Friday. That's what I did. Because people were at work and then they headed home early. And then Saturday was no travel advised. Thankfully, smarter people prevailed and said there will not be a tournament. So we didn't have to drive anywhere, which I was not looking forward to. I will absolutely drive it if I have to. But if I don't have to, I'd rather not. It's always dangerous, and it's never a good idea to drive in a blizzard. It was a blizzard, so thankfully we didn't have to do that. Sunday, we were thinking about driving up to the city to see some relatives, but decided not to because they were hearing that roads were still not good on that up in that area. Monday, we decided not to because I smoked a tri-tip, so we didn't do that. But yeah, it's now again today. You may have heard some passing comments as a recording about snow piled up in areas and so on. And there again, you kind of got to be careful because you never know what happens when you hit those. Even people have already plowed through. If you're hitting them at speed, you might find yourself spinning or in the ditch or who knows. Well, you got to take them slow and careful and and I always say methodical. You know, you kind of make sure you keep your steering wheel tight. You are expecting the car to turn at any second, so you're ready to react at any point. So the car stays straight and so on. Careful, tight turns. Or not tight. Careful, slow turns so that you don't all of a sudden find yourself in the opposite ditch because you overcorrected. Things like that, of which I've been driving for, 24 years now, or just about 24 years now in snow from various snowstorms and so on, and I will not say I'm afraid of snowstorms, but I have a healthy respect for them, and what the interesting dynamics that can happen that you may or may not be able to expect. If we had to drive up on last Saturday, I would have taken my truck with the amateur radio in it for a backup. Obviously, I have a fully charged phone and all the food and water and all this kind of safety stuff that's required when you go traveling in snow in winter. Stuff to keep you warm, some stuff to keep you fed, because it would probably be at least a day before they get back out to find you. The amateur radio would help because you could use that to call for help in case you have low cell phone signal, dead battery. Oh, if your car battery dies, you're just screwed. But so that was kind of the plan as a backup. And thankfully, smarter people said, no, we're not having it. It's dangerous. So we dodged that one. There'll be others that probably won't be canceled. And I'll be out there like a fool driving through the blizzard to go get to our destination. But, on the other hand, it's all in the dedication of a sport, of a team sport. And that's really what, in a degree, that's kind of what counts there, is that dedication, even if it's absolutely stupid. They do say that they they will understand people don't want to travel, which I'm glad, because if they expected everybody to be there, you're stupid, especially in the middle of a blizzard. But we didn't have to deal with that. So I've been going on for 20, almost 21 and a half minutes here. Well, one more thing before I go here. Recently, as in last night, I was interviewed for really two videos. He all of a sudden sprung a second video on me, but it was all good. About a website I threw together for amateur radio. And so he interviewed me about that. And then the second video, which I would assume will come out another week or two, is about storm spotting as it relates to Skywarn and amateur radio. So we got those two things coming up as well. I will share a link to that on this video, and I'll probably add the second one here when that is out. So you can see those as well if you would like to see me talk to someone else. Anything else? No, I think that's it. So, nice long talk, a lot about amateur radio, a little bit about the weather, mostly about the blizzard. Supposed to get snow / freezing rain tonight, which is going to suck. Or tomorrow. Yeah, tonight, into tomorrow. And then I'm not sure when the next chance is, but we're going to get a January thaw here. It's going to be above 30 for a couple days here. So get the roads cleared off, which is the most important thing. Because once you can get roads cleared off, you can kind of get back to remotely safe driving until the next storm shows up. So I am going to wrap it up here. I'm starting to talk faster to get everything done. So I'm going to slow down. So thank you so much for listening. You can find my website at mikewills.me. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Mike Wills is the username. My call sign is WX0MIK, and I will talk to you next time. Bye.
The intro music was Funkily Dugatitude by the late Derek K. Miller. The outro is Always Evermore by Eric Dietrich. You can contact me on most social networks with the username Mike Wills, one word. You can email me at mike@mikewills.me. You can find any show notes and my blog at mikewills.me. Thank you for listening, and come back again.